They did not wanna look at the parts.
Oh, we got corn.
Did Terry not?
Didn't know for sure, or?
Call me in order at 5:30. First up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes for June 18th, 2024, our last meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Let's roll call. The minutes are approved. Austin, you want to grab Terry's light if you can? Holding down that left side strong. Item number 4 is approval of the claims.
I'll move to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion and a second on the claims. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Claims are approved. Item number 5 is a public hearing to consider the Planning Commission's recommendation regarding the replat of Lot 5C, Outlot A, and the portion of Lot B, Western Ridge, 3rd edition of the City of Wayne, Wayne County, Nebraska. The applicants are Steve and Cynthia Meyer, Brendan and Carla Pick, and Mark and Lona Meyer. I'm going to open the public hearing. And Joel, if you want to kick us off, that was really good whack.
Joel Hanson, zoning administrator. The Planning Commission met last night and reviewed this plat. The only difficulty that I could do this administratively, because what they're essentially doing is taking two lots and making three out of them. The east side of Milo Drive, they want to split into two lots. Unfortunately, they would need that Outlot A to access that upper lot. And when this development happened, the only reason Outlot A was there instead of extending in Milo Drive the entire way was it was covered in several feet of dirt that the owners wanted to capture before the city took ownership. That dirt's been gone, and the agreement is there's finally development there that's time to dedicate that street, and I cannot do that administratively. So that's the only reason the applicants needed to come before the Planning Commission and Council to do that. But we are widening Milo Drive once it gets into this area to 60 foot from the 50 foot originally, because our subdivision section of the code says it should be 60 foot. And if there's residential development to the north, we felt there's an important need to have some way to get sidewalk or a trail type connection down to Dollar General from that area. So this extra width will give us that ability to do that. And last night, the Planning Commission recommended approval unanimously.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak at this public hearing? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Item number 6 is Resolution 2024-34, approving the replat of Lot 5C, Lot A, and lot, portion of Lot B, 5B, Western Ridge 3rd Edition. This is what we just had the public hearing on.
I'll introduce Resolution 2024-34, move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 7 is report of Senior Center. And we have our very own Diane Bertrand here.
Hello, everybody.
Greetings.
George, our board president with us. Basically, what we have to do is every year is approve the funding grants from Area and Aging for our 3B, 3C, and 3E. I sent a little letter out because it gets lengthy, and what is 3B, 3C, and 3E? So I sent it in your packet. I explained in detail how we generate the funds for each program. And basically, these budgets are generated from the past fiscal year for what we've done at the center. So they ask us to have you approve. These are the grant monies we will receive this year for the programs that we provide. So the 3B is $43,354. The 3C is $34,455, and the 3E is our caregiver program, which is $3,500. We just receive a flat, and we meet once a month, and we provide support for the caregivers of our community. So if you have any questions with what I've provided you, now's the time to ask.
Can you explain what they have to sign? Like, certain things they sign in, and is that going okay?
Oh, yeah.
Little pushback in the beginning, because nobody wants to sign in.
To verify any program or any participation we do in the senior center, they have to sign. And so we get audits regularly throughout the year that we have to provide all these signatures to them to verify what we're putting into our computer to generate the funding back, that we're not fudging on those. So they're pretty strict on that, which is very time consuming, but it's how we generate our funds at the center, so we'll do whatever it takes. Every activity, whether it's cards, whether it's our health clinics, you have to sign. And we have to have what's called a demographic. So individuals that participate, we have a general background, what's your age? And so you have to be over 60 for us to generate those funds. So we have to prove to them that we have a demographic on that to prove that they are over 60. Same thing with our lunch programs. We, since the pandemic, we started what's called a to-go, which is they are able to pull up to the outside of our building, make the reservation the day before, and then we run the meal out to them. People still aren't, they just don't want to come in and be part of a group. So this way we can still provide the meals, but yet they can go drive through. To be a home-delivered meal, you have to show a need. Not just anybody says, oh, this is cool, can we have you deliver a meal to our home? You have to say, why can't you be out and about? And most of them are age, don't drive, surgeries, things like that. So that to go then is one step up from being home delivered. So I'm pretty sure I put in your packet, was it 14,000? I can't remember how many meals it was. We served last year.
14,358.
Yep. So, I mean, we average between 65 and 80 a day.
How long have you been at $5 for a meal contribution?
A long time. And as, you know, think about that. We need to go up. I try to stay what other senior centers are asking. The seniors are struggling too because you've been up buying groceries.
Oh,
yeah. It's extreme. But then our groceries is also really high because we serve all homemade meals made from scratch every day. Meat is incredibly high. You know, we like to do fresh fruits and vegetables, incredibly high. So we're doing our best, and that's maybe something we need to go up next year, but it's already figured at $5 this year. So when the process for our budget next year, maybe that's something we need to do is go up. A dollar would generate 14 more thousand more dollars, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's just an option.
And my question that I asked just is to tell you, there is so much paperwork behind everything she does. She's got to document everything, and it's very, very time consuming.
Yep. I have a good staff that really
I would say
alleviates
that, my finance staff. Department has been helping out a little bit, mm-hmm. too, to just try to make things
true.
A little bit easier.
The finance has been helping with the Department of Roads. Department of Roads has just, I used to be able to do the paperwork in 2 hours, now it's 2 weeks, and that's with Beth's help. I don't know if it's since Norfolk happened, we're a lot of oversight now, so, which is
on the transit
way it should
side.
Be,
yeah.
You know, I'm fine with that, but it just takes a long time. The city's been helping out, trying to get the documentation that we need, which is a lot. But this is basically on about the senior center. I think we'll get into more budget for the
work session.
The transit when we do our work session. Anybody? But take the time, read the letter.
Yeah.
It explains. I know I'm getting a little wordy, but it's hard to explain in a nutshell what we do at the center. It's a lot.
Absolutely. Any, I know I always ask you to keep it brief, but any things that you'd like to hit on? Any things that... Just, I always ask, you know, when we have director's report, like, mm-hmm. you know, what are the things that are on your mind the most about the workplace?
Just...
Don't be shy, space, yeah. always
yeah,
space.
Space. Always space, you know, we're just growing, and if you have to come up and see firsthand, we do the best with what we got. Our office is small, we got 3 people just crammed in there. We put card tables between the pool tables for the bridge groups. Got to be careful because everybody has potential to trip and fall, which we always have that. And we just don't have a lot of storage. You'll see with the ARPA funds, I was able to buy a double oven. And so we weren't able to put 2 ovens in, so we stacked. And so we were able to go up, which just helped tremendously. Again, wasn't out of our funds. It was what funds we generated through the ARPA funds. So that was like $15,000, I think, for that. We were able to totally renovate our kitchen using ARPA funds. So, and that is all funds generated from what programs that we did. The more people we served, the more money we got back. So I think we're holding our own, but budget, we're always, the food is astronomical. That's what I get nervous yeah. about. We're trying to keep up with our wages. You know, that adds on to the gross of our meals. You know, but I don't think I could really help that.
So you have very generous patrons as well?
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, we do have a lot of that. And so we do try to fund the programs with their donations also.
Or in partnership with us, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, yeah. you do a good job with that.
Any questions for Dan?
George, you have anything you need to add that you can think of?
Sure.
Oh, sorry.
Never miss a chance to talk. No, I just want to say that, you know, Diane and her staff are doing a wonderful job. It's a very welcoming area for people to come in. We provide some of the finest food. I challenge you to find any place in this town that you can get that kind of a nutritious meal for $5. And it's very much appreciated by our senior citizens. Okay?
Absolutely.
Thanks for what you do as well, George.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Spend a lot of hours.
I'm one of those seniors.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, we got this deep in the letter there, and there's no getting out of it. Item number 8 is action on the submission of the Wayne Senior Center's fiscal year 2024 detailed plan of operation and budget to the Northeast Nebraska Area on Agency of Aging, acceptance of a new fiscal year service awards that have been awarded by the area agency, and approval of any revisions made during the fiscal year to the service awards. So this is just housekeeping.
To submit the budget.
I'll make a motion to approve that action.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The action on the submission is approved. Item number 9 is action on the application certificate of payment number 8 in the amount of $370,281 to Audi Construction Company, Inc. for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project. We do have...
Looks like Kelly's on the line.
Kelly, can you hear us?
I can. Nice.
Kelly, how's the project going?
Well, it's moving right along. I get to see it firsthand tomorrow. So.
Great. We've got Keith in attendance too here. So.
Yeah, I don't know what your weather's been like, but we had like over 5 inches of rain last night and more all day today. And I'm sure Keith is anxious to get some paving going.
It has been wet. Yes. Anything of note from either of you about progress on the project?
Things are moving along nicely. Our Keith Bogie, Audi Construction Company, our bulletproof panels, the ones that we were still waiting for, they have shown up, they're installed now, and then we're finishing up our sheetrock that we had left in a few places. The den shield that's on the outside of the garage area is nearly complete there. The floor in the basement, the garage floor in the basement got poured and so forth. And we've got, oh, probably 95% of the backfill done around the site. We have some site paving that we're trying to get started on and things of that nature. Trying to get our painter here. Painters are thin right now. A lot of school projects going on. They've got pertinent deadlines that they have to meet and so forth. We have some wiggle room on that. So, but yes, things are moving nicely. We just deal with the weather. So, anything? Any questions?
No. This is kind of the more regular business. Talk a little bit more in the next time.
We have monthly updates, and tomorrow is our next update. Monthly, yes. Or every two? You know, time flies when you're having fun. Is it just monthly?
Every 4 weeks.
Every 4 weeks, okay.
Move to approve the action on payment number 8 in the amount of $370,281 Audi Construction Company.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Action on the application payment is approved. Item number 10 is discussion action regarding the Audi Construction change estimate proposal number 11 in the amount of $106,308 for the additional paving replacement costs in the west parking lot. So, do we have a good, I thought we had a picture.
We do have a picture. I don't know how it will show up here necessarily, but we'll try it. So what we asked was, the blue area up there is the area that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Keith, since you're obviously more into the project, that is the area that would be remaining blacktop. The rest of the area is new concrete. So what we wanted to know is if we would replace all of the black, if we had everything new concrete, what would it cost extra? And that's where the $106,000 estimate comes in. Reasons to or not, I mean, obviously the reason not to do it is to save money, to save $106,000. It's not in the bid. Save the money. Why would you do it? Well, you're going to have old asphalt next to nice new concrete. Honestly, this area might be the worst area of the parking lot. And again, you would know better, Keith, or Joel would know, or maybe even Jill. Jill has seen it as well. You know, asphalt's going to be, we're going to have to rip it out someday, or we're going to have to do an overlay of it at some point. And if you do all concrete, it's probably going to be fairly maintenance-free other than tar sealing and some of that type of stuff. But it's also $106,000. We had, I think the mayor made us put for the bond proceeds, we put $4.5 million in for this project, even though it's a $4.2 million contractual price, knowing that, you know, might have some things come up, you know, how much, I'm not exactly sure what else you were envisioning that might be happening out there, but, it, you know, the exterior or furnishing the place if we want certain things. So that's not that you have wiggle room there, but you got, I mean, we did set aside some of that. But if you don't use it for that, the bond proceeds goes to, for example, Prairie Park or something else like that. So it's completely up to you. We can do it now, or we're gonna have to redo it at some point. I just don't know how long it'll last.
That's the piece that just jumps out at me, is we're gonna do it either now or we're gonna do it years ahead. And how many years? I mean, we don't really know, but when it comes back to bring somebody in here who's not already here, it's just going to be cheaper to do it now. If we were to get 4 or 5 years out of that, yeah, it'd save us some money, but I bet the bid, having to bring back in a mobilization charge and everything else, you're going to be ahead doing it now. Joel, do you have something?
I just add that there's quite a bit of slope to that parking lot from the building down towards the highway. And if you leave that center spot, you really can't adjust that. If that all comes out, you'd have the opportunity perhaps raise the west end of that parking lot where the landscape is going to be 12, 15 inches, 10, credentialing part of it, which would really help with people walking across during the winter time.
Now, that's probably not part of this estimate, is it, Keith? We, Joel and I had talked about, you know, if we needed to put additional dirt in the area, something that we could haul in, but then they would have to, Meyer would have to do the grading and things like that, yeah. So we'd have to work together on that. But this was before you had saw it, you had removed it, isn't it? Yeah.
Joel, by raising the west end potentially 12 inches though, you know, you're going to have a pretty good lift there.
So there's landscaping. They're not putting the parking lot back all the way to the sidewalk. You've got like an 8-foot cutout that's grass. So you can put your slope then in that grass area rather than in the parking lot.
This area in here?
Yep.
So the thinking of grass?
Well, or actually, we were talking about low drought resistant, yeah, maybe fountain grass or something like that. Not turf necessarily.
Landscaping of some sort.
Yeah. Okay. Or if you take the entire parking lot out, what Brian Kessler was talking about was you put in throw conduit in now. If you ever want something out at that pole, you know, do you throw a water line in case you do want to have a faucet at some point out there, a hydrant for whatever reason? At least it's there. You don't have to tear anything else up. This would be the time to do that.
Trees, grass, and a landscaping island.
Keith, if we don't do this, does it screw up the concrete that's already planned when it comes to trying to match the new concrete to the asphalt? Is it going to change the elevation? Is it going to change the drainage? Like, is it going to affect it in any way?
I don't think so, because right now the parking lot does drain. It drains to the north and then back to the east for the most part. There is some that comes out to a state highway, but not very much. It always presents challenges when you're trying to butt up against an existing material. In this case, it's asphalt. Some of the asphalt goes up and down, so you've been trying to get everything to blend together. You don't want to put concrete over the top of the asphalt. It would probably come in, probably have to cut some spots out to make it a little less drastic and things like that. So, but that's how we have it planned, is to do that. I want to refrain from commenting one way or the other on too much, because I want to stay out of it. It can be a conflict of interest, and I want to be careful with what I say. So, but to your question, I don't think I'm impeding on that. So.
It didn't hit me, you know, Jill had mentioned during the beginning process, like, if you're going to do this, you should do it all. And I was like, no, we can get by with this asphalt for a while. But the last time I was up there visiting, it just seemed like it was in a lot rougher shape than what I had remembered previously. Prior to construction.
So, question I have, the white is on the map, the blueprint map, is the stuff that's already bid. Is that including the sidewalk, or is that just the pavement going up to the sidewalk?
That is sidewalk now. Any new, is that what you're talking about, like down in this?
No,
the
up
west?
Top.
To the,
by the handicap stalls.
To the east? Yes, that's all included. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, Keith.
No, that is correct.
No, I mean, is
the
the pavement's going up to the sidewalk, or are they redoing the sidewalk?
We're redoing
as well?
The sidewalk.
Yes. Okay.
The sidewalk is coming out.
There's also some landscape areas in there, too, if I remember right.
Up against the building?
Yeah, on the north side? Yeah, in this area in here.
I would have
that
to
sound
double,
right?
I'd have to double check.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
I was thinking that was all concrete in there. I don't have the drawings in front of me. Kelly?
Well, I have the drawings in front of me, but I can't see what you're pointing to.
Well, come on, Kelly.
I'm not seeing your screen.
On the north.
There is some green space up adjacent to the building.
In front of the PD?
The part that goes out towards where the new, I'll call it pedestrian entrance to the police department garage, if you will, that is paved. That is sidewalk. In the basement.
So you're correct, Wes. That section is green space.
And just because I'm not fluent in reading these, I'm assuming that where the handicap stalls is a ramp?
Yes, it'll be a zero entry.
Correct.
Coming in, that meets all ADA codes.
So the design was that they had to make sure that the ADA part met ADA, right? And then the rest of it could kind of do whatever it needed to do, but this would, you know, this would.
There's just a lot of lines right there and I don't know what's supposed to be.
Well, I'm with you, Clayton.
We're coming out about, the handicap parking spots are usually around 20 to 21 feet deep. And so we're coming off the face of the existing sidewalk there about 21 feet out to get everything to work in that area, so.
And I will mention that the portion that was in the original base bid was the amount of concrete that was, or asphalt and existing parking that had to be removed to accommodate the addition, the drainage, and the ADA requirements.
So they took extra out around that ADA stall because that's going to have to come up. And so if you don't take the rest out, now you've got that crown and going down matching existing, you can't change that really. And that's going to be tricky with snow removal and everybody else that walks across that area.
You're going to be chipping concrete.
Yeah.
Keith, do you see any problem with if we do go this route to have us add extra dirt or whatever we need to do to make it right? Or is that, what is Steve doing here?
Steve is removing all of the existing asphalt and then he is coming back in. And I believe we have figured in there that we're going to have to over pull some of that dirt out up to a foot deep and recompact, bring in new dirt to recompact because we're fearful that it's damp underneath there and it won't compact properly to get what we need.
So if we were to do it, would we have the ability to run conduit and stuff?
Yes.
It wouldn't interfere with anything that you would do?
No. There's already conduit planned on the south end coming out of the building over to that little bump out where I believe the flagpole is going to sit. We've got to get conduit from there. So it's not shown on that drawing there, but somehow we have to get a conduit up close to the building, out to that island. And the most feasible way to do that is we're going to end up cutting a minimum of a foot wide trench through there to get from that point to there. So then you're not only going to have concrete up against the building and concrete, some new concrete out against the sidewalk and so forth, but then you will have probably about a 2 foot wide strip that will go from that island back up against the building. So now we're adding more things because we have to figure out a way to get power out there. So.
So it's either do it or have a jigsaw of asphalt.
Yes.
Keith, were you able to come up with two different bids for concrete supplies?
We reached out to Lawrenson's on that and we reached out to Gerhold's. Lawrenson's did not give us a price because they're not able to handle the load, the demand of work this late fall and so forth. Their schedule's busy. But I did reach back out to them to get a comparison between price of 47B 4000 mix design between Gerhold's here in Wayne and Lawrenson's. It's about a $9 difference between the two. Lawrenson's is $9 less and so forth. It was like 157, 158 cubic yard. And then
Gerhold's, I think, was $167. I have it written down on a sheet of paper. It was $9 or $11 difference between approximately. So there is some cost, but we asked them if they could come in, and they said their summer was booked. So.
I guess one other thing I should point out is that the elevations that are shown on the civil plans now, those would remain as is, and that is what I believe that Keith put the price together on. So adding another foot of dirt and changing other things could have an impact on this number. That's my assumption. Is that correct, Keith?
I would have to visit with Steve Meyer. If the city's willing to bring the dirt in, is he willing to level it and pack it while he's doing the rest of it? I would imagine that there could be some cost implications on that, but I have no idea how much. The big expense is getting the dirt from point A to point B.
Right.
The trucking fees are just crazy.
And the elevation change would strictly be a cosmetic thing, or?
Well, but I'll turn to Joel for that if he wants.
Or is that
more so functionality, so that it's not so steep when you're walking up, if you're parked on that end of the lot, to the building. Mm-hmm. And then to try and match him closer to that ADA grade. I'd say the cosmetic part is just having all concrete instead of jigsaw asphalt. That's probably cosmetic. I'd say the elevation change is a functionality portion.
I'd be curious to see what Steve's going to say on the price change.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we get a more complete price picture? Next meeting, or would that slow you down?
Well, Kelly, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Typically, in a situation like this, you would want to bring the civil engineer back in and have him reassess it and see what we would need to do, and that's going to add more cost to the project. So
that's correct. And time.
And time, and I know the civil engineer is extremely busy right now. The other thing is you get Joel to work with some elevations and let him do some of that. We can do it in that fashion. We got to be careful that we don't start kicking more water out onto the state highway, because the DOT will frown upon us very, very quickly. And then, but whatever we do, I don't think it's going to affect the water going to the north up to 6th Street or around the building back into the alley area, because that's already been accounted for. So that would be my fear on a couple of those things. So, but it,
my comment would be Steve is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he can do a lot of that. He's not an engineer, but he's good. I'll just leave it at that.
Just a couple things that I wanted to say is, you know, if so, let's say this, you know, Steve, Keith agreed, okay, city can bring in dirt. Well, we don't know how long that's going to take. I mean, it could take 3-4 days with how many vehicles moving dirt. And when we pull our guys from doing one thing to another thing, it just adds more work for them to do. And we can be pulling them from mm-hmm. pouring concrete, or, you know, breaking panels up that need to be replaced. I don't know entirely what the schedule's like, you know, within the next month. But, you know, you pull them from one job to another, then something else is lacking because of that. It's not getting done. And I also look at time-wise. You know, you can bring in side dumps or larger dump trucks and bring in several yards at a time rather than, what, 2 yards maybe at a time?
5-yard trucks, yeah.
So that's one thing. Originally, I wasn't, like, I didn't want to spend $106,000 for concrete because, okay, that takes up a large chunk of the excess, what we have kind of left over. But I am also like whenever I do something, if you're gonna do it once, you're gonna do it right. And the last thing I wanna have is a project where you do something and you didn't spend the extra money at the time. It's like, gosh, I really wish we would have done this because, you know, just because we saved a little bit of money. And I'm kind of like with Kale that the condition of the parking lot right now is not great. Mm-hmm. And we've got payloaders going across it. We have telehandlers going across. We have materials that's being stacked on top of it. And then you have all the construction vehicles on top of that moving around. It's not going to get any better over the course of the next 6 months that the project has left. So I have, I guess, changed my mind. I think it's a necessary expense. And when it comes to meeting concrete to asphalt, I just think you're going to have some problems. And I agree with Joel where you're going to have some edges, and the next thing you want to have happen is, well, you have one bad snow winter, or, you know, one bad winter where you're moving snow. And in the spring, well, we got to start replacing a bunch of busted concrete because we didn't do it right the first time.
So if council wanted to approve this change order as is, we could work with Steve on something, and the excess cost, I mean, we still do have some contingency funds within the bid already that I can work through, that we could work pretty fast with as long as Kelly and Keith are on the same page. So we could do that, but I don't want to step over the line and do too much that you guys didn't want to have. So I'm not sure how that can be if you say, well, we'll authorize another however many thousands of dollars to do more. I mean, is it $5,000? I don't know. I have no idea what it would be.
I can't answer that question without. Yeah. I would have to go out to the job site with Joel and see exactly where he's wanting to raise this at, because we have to be careful. If we start raising too much, it's going to start to get steeper on your exit out to the north. And so there's a double-edged sword there as to doing everything. And right now that I can walk over there and look at those grades quicker, but by adding a 1.6 to it, and I don't know how far you're planning on doing it, it's going to get plenty steep, because right now where that drive is coming in is going to be plenty steep, and then you start bringing that up more, it's going to get steeper. So and that's that exit out to 6th Street there. So
Keith, I guess I was at figuring on that island. I was looking at the northwest corner of that island being the high point, and that would help push more water north too. And then when you get to the north end, like you said, you probably can't raise it any because of that exit to 6th Street. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily the whole thing has a foot. It might just be part of it can be raised. And that's kind of an area where that ADA parking is. And as you're going north, you're probably going to taper down to where you're not changing that grade any.
And will we be getting into the state highway right away there at that point?
Nope.
If we start messing with that green space?
Isn't the state right away the back side of the sidewalk?
Yep. We're all on our own property with everything we're doing there. Otherwise, we'd have to have state permits already.
So I'd suggest if you're in favor of concreting the entire parking lot, you pass this, and then, again, we can have site conversations with Keith and Steve and Joel and me on site, and we can figure out what else could be done.
You know, some other things that you have to also take in the decision-making process is, okay, if we're going to tear it all up, you know what, pretty good chance of rain coming at the end of the week. It's like, it may take us 3 days, you know, with city workers, city trucks moving dirt versus one day.
Right.
Yep. Side dumps and dump trucks.
Oh yeah, Steve will do it a lot faster.
So, I mean, to me, it's just let the professionals do their thing. Just because I can run an excavator doesn't mean I'm gonna build or dig my own basement.
There is, I mean, Matt brings up a good point. Guys that are running the trucks for Steve Meyer know exactly where Steve wants it dumped at and how much and how fast, and then it just can become more problematic with some help, which is, I mean, it's great, but I mean, it's Steve's used to doing it his way, and then trying to get to train some other guys to do it the way he needs it. Otherwise, it just gets more expensive, so.
Well, he may not want the liability of that either, so. Or you, Keith, for that matter.
I don't want any of the liability that I already got. I don't have much of a choice.
Well, and then the whole thing with, you know, that is, has, was not redesigned from a drainage standpoint, and then not having a civil engineer do that, because it would have all been reevaluated at once, like the entire site, if that was the case.
Well, we have a civil engineer design the basement of the garage, 3 foot lower in alleys, so I'd add a drain too, so keep that in mind as well.
I think we can do some site evaluations and work with Steve and Keith. What's that?
I mean, it's just a, not to knock a civil engineer in this case, but this looks pretty straightforward, so. Any other thoughts?
Move to approve the action on the change estimate proposal number 11 in the amount of $106,308. The additional paving for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. It is approved. Item number 11 is Economic Development Department report and semi-annual, thank you, LB 40 report. Luke Virgil.
Luke Virgil, Director of Economic Development. Thank you everybody for being here tonight. Just wanted to kind of talk with Kale, said let's get in front of council as much as possible, and when you guys tell me to stop and quit making reports on a regular basis, that's when you know, I know that you have heard what you need to hear, that our department is rolling in the right direction. So I just wanted to go over some of the big things that we've done over the last 4 or 5 months. I think late February was the last time I was in front of you with a departmental report. Big events, at least we felt they were big events. Governor Pillen has been in town twice. This is not uncommon across the state. He's been doing this, trying to drum up support for property tax relief across the state of Nebraska. But we felt privileged that Wayne merits his attention throughout that process. So we tried to do as best we could to host twice here in March and June. The partnership with this department and the chamber, we had to help host the annual banquet. I know some of you were able to attend that. Touring our larger businesses and some of our larger assets, our business and industry committee is committed to that. So they went up to Great Dane in April, and they were at the Center for Applied Technology here in June. Leadership Wayne, this is one of our signature programs that was developed under Wes's tenure, and we've tried to continue that throughout and grow the program, adapt that program, and so we had 17 that graduated. Clayton was one of them, and he did that in his capacity as a city council person rather than as a deputy sheriff or an individual citizen. So he can tell you what he experienced through that program. Prairie Park Apartments, this is a big deal. I know for you guys, you took a big leap of faith with a RFP process and the remonstrance process and all the litigation that came because of that. So thank you for your commitment to that, because that's a huge paradigm shift. That's something that Wes and I talked about with a potential developer today that they see as a really big win for our community. And so that first building coming online here in the next couple of weeks, the second building coming online, that's a big deal. Casey Fed was in, or local candidate forum, just something we do during election cycle. We will host another one as we get towards the general election, so probably mid to late October. The Casey Fed roundtable, this is something that they reached out to us. We wanted to have a discussion, or they wanted to have a discussion about low-income communities and what is our community doing to assist those, that subset of the population. We had around 20 people around the table that were able to discuss that. And Wayne has a lot going for us. We support low-income communities pretty well, but there's always an opportunity to do more. Big event for Timberline, their 20th anniversary. You know, Sand Creek Post and Beam was founded in 2004. So with that came Senator Deb Fisher, and this was just a kind of a last-minute addition to that schedule. She was able to speak at that event, but then she said, I want to tour some things around town. We took her to Heritage Homes, and she met with Rod and Dana, and Jill's mom was also there. So the three of them got to kind of chat, and she's actually purchased a home from them,
but it's good to reacquaint her with one of the assets that we have in our business community and what they are producing and sending throughout the region. We also went on a familiarization tour just driving some different places. We went past Wayne State and looked at all the construction there. She got to see the Catbacker event and how big that is for our community and what Wayne Country Club has to offer. And then we went down to Prairie Park to look at those apartments and see the progress there, but also the park itself and see what kind of an asset that's going to be for our community. And then we've got the usual chicken show and vendor golf stuff coming up here in July. Some growth things, you guys have probably seen the ribbon cuttings that we've had in the last two or three months, blends and boards. You guys were a part of that with the LB 840. And then the tacos and more stuff that just changed over here at the end of 2023. And they finally had their ribbon cutting about 2 weeks ago. Serenity has made their improvements. They've moved, they had their stuff here happen in the last 6 months. American Family Insurance, it's a new insurance provider that's trying to open a book of business here in town. They're tied with Dustin Korth out of Norfolk, but Lincoln Havronik is going to be running the shop here in town, and he's going to be located at 204 Main, the old Swans for Men building. His Baking Co., Wildcat Lanes, you guys are very aware of what's going on there. And then the Arnie's transition. This is a major transition for our community. Bill's announced that Ryan Davis is going to be purchasing it. He's based out of Columbus right now, but that's huge that we can retain that dealership here in town. As long as Ford gives their blessing to everything, it should go forward pretty easily. The recruitment stuff that we've been working on or keeping tabs on, hotel discussion, this is a huge issue for our community. The Summit Carbon Solutions still percolating, and there was recent changes with how Iowa's going to address this project, and I think they're going to allow for some eminent domain stuff that kept some life in that project. That was a big hurdle for them. I think stuff in North Dakota and South Dakota still has to get over the fence before it can really progress forward. And Nebraska doesn't have a lot of issues here. We don't have I think that there was less concern from the state and county level permitting than there was in Iowa and in South Dakota or North Dakota. The auto mechanics, we've got a couple of openings because of HICUS and Exhaust Pros closing, and we've tried to fill those gaps. I know that the old building at Exhaust Pros is sold now. We'll have to see what the new owners want to do with it. And then we've made some outreach to some individuals about the HICUS property, and we've talked to HICUSes individually. And then the garbage hauler, if you have not seen the orange dumpsters, S2 Roll-Offs is starting to come into town, getting a book of business. They have a local contact. Skylar Schwiers is now working for them. This is just kind of a cold call. They said, what can we do to get into town? And we helped them understand what is the ordinance, how do they work with the transfer station, and then they've started working with Waste Connections, and they may be bidding in the next couple of years when that contract comes up for the transfer station. And then developers for housing. We still need other types of housing, not just the apartments. I think duplexes is the next thing we need to see go online. When a duplex comes on the market, it doesn't stay on the market for very long, and they're very expensive once they get transitioned. On the housing stuff too, Wayne Community Housing, just so you're aware, HPRR, Housing Purchase Rehab Program, they have a portfolio of over $600,000, and that's over the course of this program for the last 25 years. Rural Workforce Housing, you guys have a stake in that because of the contribution you made at the onset in 2018. There's over a $300,000 portfolio there, and both of those revolve. HPRR has slowed down significantly because there is not a lot of houses that fit the parameters. About $172,000 is the cap that you can have for purchase of the house plus the renovations to that house before it can be sold to the final user. Rural Workforce Housing has some different, more flexible options, but what they've done primarily with those funds is a lot of down payment assistance to help people get over the hurdle of that down payment assistance or down payment gap with their first-time home buyer or they're just financially, they just didn't have that much socked away. It's getting tougher and tougher with the rising cost of housing. The last thing on there, they have hired an auditor, and I know this is probably the dirty little secret about Wayne Community Housing. They've struggled with getting their financials audited on a regular basis. They've struggled with maintaining different statuses. It's just, this is the first step in getting that fixed so that they can be a functioning nonprofit and so that they can continue to provide grant opportunities for our community. There are times that it is more beneficial for the city to apply, and there are other times that a tax-exempt nonprofit like Wayne Community Housing should be, it's better for them to make the application. And so we need to have that harmony between the two organizations.
The team itself, we are still learning a lot, and I know that this is probably the biggest hurdle is the inexperience that we have with the three of the four on the team. But with Rachel and Braden, they've gone through Heartland Basic Economic Development. It's the kind of the baseline that most economic developers do to get into the business. And then Jen was able to go to a NYFA training specific on housing and innovative ways to look at housing solutions for your communities in rural Nebraska. For myself, we attended a brownfield training. I think that's the next step we need to move with a lot of our sites throughout the community, whether it's controlled by the city or the CRA or privately controlled, and just helping them get the grant dollars to rectify those properties. You guys made the comment about Diane. What is the things that are kind of percolating in my mind, the next big things that we need to be doing? And this is just a running conversation with Wes and I. Travel to corporate headquarters. That's the big thing that I want to be doing next. Getting into places like Grand Rapids, Michigan to talk with Williams Form Engineering. That was something that Wes was able to do. This is something that the city took a stake in when Ken Chamberlain was mayor. And I think it led directly to their expansion here in Wayne. So building that relationship and continuing that relationship with a strong manufacturing partner is important. Getting either to Chicago or Savannah, Georgia to talk with Great Dane Corporate is another really big goal to try and keep that relationship going and make sure that they are happy here and they continue their operations. And then maybe some training for myself. We've talked about that through the budget, and that will come up in the next few weeks with the budget discussions. What opportunities do we have to, not just for myself, but for others on the team to continue our training? So any questions about this part?
We go through and then we can circle back on everything. Okay. Do you have anything for the LB4E or is this?
The two biggest ones, the additions for His Baking Co. and Wildcat Lanes. That was the only change. And your running average for a interest rate is now 1.7%.
I would add on LBA 40, starting yesterday, the amount going into the fund has changed. Before that, prior 15 years, it was 40% of 1 cent, and now it will be 15% of 1 cent. But when you look at the funds, it'll be about the same amount of funds over 15 years than the last 15 years, just because everything's more expensive and sales tax is higher than it was. So just...
As of the 25th, there was $588,000 in change available to be lent out. And I have three or four that have been fairly serious with their interest of potentially bringing an application forward. And I always tell folks, it's a first come, first serve. Whoever does a completed application with all the required documentation by myself as the administrator or the committee, they get first dibs at the dollars. And the way the program is written, we can only lend out dollars that we have available in the fund. So I can do two projects of 250 or 250 and change, but to do three projects that would take us over the 588, one of those would be left in the cold.
Any questions for Luke? I kind of asked him to come up here. You know, we had such a big changeover, at the beginning of the year, and three new members. I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to discuss and talk about your expectations with Luke and what you'd like to see more of, so that we don't have any, make the discussion easier. And now that his people should have their
sea legs.
Yeah. Land legs, sea legs. Yeah, just time for you to talk or ask questions.
We also do a budget narrative when every department head will, but that'll have a lot of stuff spelled out for like budget requests and stuff for next year too. So.
Seeing no questions, thank you, Luke. Moving on to action to set the mini retreat date for Tuesday, July 30th. It is that time of the year again.
I'll make a motion to set the mini retreat date Tuesday, July 30th, 5:30, Wayne Fire Hall.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? It's roll call. Item number 13, action to set the budget work session for August 6th after the regular council meeting. We will try to keep it light on that date so that we can scurry through the budget session, at least the first half.
I'll make a motion to set the budget work session.
For the whole thing. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The budget work session date is approved. Item number 14 is discussion and update on potential negotiations on real property. I've got a little bit of an update for you, and I would recommend we go into closed session to discuss.
Motion to go into closed session, leaving city council, city administrator, city clerk, city attorney, and mayor in attendance.
Second.
I'm grateful. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Roll call. We are in closed session.
Take a motion.
Make a motion to come out of closed session.
Second.
Motion and a second to come out of closed session. Let's roll call. We are out of closed session and we are adjourned.